book of the Bible, the book of Acts. Let's stand together, give you a chance to stretch your legs, and then I'm going to read these passages and we'll get into the message. John chapter 1, in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. John was a witness in this verse. He was sent to bear witness about Jesus. Jesus is the light, it says. He was not the light. And by the way, nor are we the light. When we go and tell people about the Lord, we're not talking about us. Oh man, let me tell you about how good I am. Let me tell you how good I am, how wonderful I am. That's not witnessing. You're witnessing about yourself. And by the way, I don't got enough about myself that's good to go brag about. I'm bearing witness of him. And he is the light. Jesus is. And it says, John was sent from God to bear witness. Verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. Verse 8, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Now go forward to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Next book of the Bible, Acts chapter 1. And the next book of the Bible is book of Acts, verse chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which a Father hath put into his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. I'm going to pray, and you can be seated after we pray. Lord, as we talk about this subject, about being a witness for you, Lord, I pray you'd help us understand this little different direction, and I pray your word to come forth clearly, powerfully. I pray I'd have the words, the emotions, the look, the thought, everything under the control of your spirit. And I pray you'd speak individually to every heart, Lord. Thank you for these precious souls. Lord, some people love church. Some people come because they have to. Some people are struggling. Some people are doing great. Some people are depressed. Some people are excited. Some people are strapped financially. Some people are doing fine. We're in all kinds of conditions, Lord. We pray today every one of us would get what we need. And you'd speak to us in a powerful way, in a supernatural way, and help us understand what you want for us to learn today. And we just put this service into your hands and ask you to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to go a little different direction. I'm talking about witnessing, but a little bit different. It says, first of all, John came to be a witness. He was sent forth to be a witness of the light. And then it says the Christians were supposed to be witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, these disciples did not go to every corner of the world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth, is a verse for all Christians of all time. We are all supposed to be witnesses unto him to every part of the world. But sometimes we get into a Christian word thing where we get used to hearing a word like saved or redeemed or witness or something like that. And we hear the word enough time, and we think of something and we define it in a way that it isn't really defined in the Bible. And it's just a really common word that we've heard many times before. And I think with witnessing, it is the same thing. All we think of when we hear the word witness is going and telling somebody about how to get to heaven, how to be saved. And I don't think that's bad or anything wrong with that. But if you just stop for a second and say, what is a witness? Because the Bible says you are to be witnesses unto me. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10 says, "Ye are my." We read this in Sunday school. "Ye are my witnesses," saith the Lord, and that I am the one God. It says, "Ye are my witnesses." In the Bible, we are God's witnesses of who He is and what He does. And He says, "You know what? I'm not going to go forth and proclaim this. If everybody's going to find out that I've been raised from the dead, if everybody's going to find out that I'm the Son of God, you're going to be my witness of that fact." A witness is someone who testifies as to what they have seen. You may have been a witness in a court case sometime. You may have been a character witness, or actually a material witness, where you actually saw something that happened, and you become the witness for that fact. That's no different than when the Bible says you're to be witnesses unto me. It's the same exact thing. And we are to be God's witnesses of who he is and what he has done and where he is. We are to be a witness. We are to be come to trial and say, that is Jesus, and let me be a witness for him. I've been to trial for people in this room, and I've gone and talked to the judge and said, I want you to do this because of this. And I've been a witness for people. And I hope, because I'm a pastor, don't plan to get in trouble and plan on me doing that for you. I don't always do that. And I might have to say something else. I have to tell the truth. So I might say, throw away the key. But when you become a witness, you have to go and say, I'm going to testify, because I am a witness and I've seen this. And Jesus Christ says, I want you to be my witnesses of who I am and what I've done. You are to be my witness. What a responsibility. I'm to be the witness for Jesus Christ. Let me witness for you, because Jesus is on trial with every person in the world, whether they're going to accept him or not. Let me be his witness for you. Can you imagine you go on, and I'm not talking about going witnessing today and winning souls. I'm talking about what kind of witness you are today. What kind of witness you are. Let's say you're walking along down the street and it's getting a little bit dark, and you're with a guy you know, and maybe he's not the best friend, but he's a guy you know, and you're walking along, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, you see something dark over on the grass over there, and you can't quite make out what it is. And you look down, and there is a knife on the ground. You say, that is a nice knife. And you pick it up, and all of a sudden, here comes sirens. And you look at the knife, and it's all bloody. And over there, you look, and your friend says, look, dude, it's a dead body. And you say, ah! And here comes the police, take out their guns. And they say, get on your face! And you're not like the dumb people on Cops. Why? What? Here's my wallet. You don't do that, and you get on your face, do just what they say, and you get on the ground and you do that, and the police say, you're under arrest for murder of this guy. I didn't have anything to do with that. I didn't do anything. Well, you look at your fingerprints are on the knife. The knife's right there. You're standing right there, and you say, I have a witness. It's this guy. And they talk to this guy, but they still book you, and boy, they charge you with first-degree murder. You had nothing to do with it. Boy, you post bail. And you get out of jail, and you're coming along, and trial comes up, and you go to trial, and here's your star witness, and you called him to come on this day, and you're waiting for him to come, You know the guy's not necessarily the most reliable person. All of a sudden, he breaks into the back door swings open. He is in an orange jumpsuit from jail. His hands are cuffed behind his back. And he runs to the front of the court as fast as he can. He says, man, I told you I was going to be here. Here I am. But you better do this quick because they're coming to get me. I just broke out. They know where I'm coming. Hurry. I'm going to sit down. Okay. I promise to tell the whole truth. Okay. Listen. I'm telling you. They didn't do it, man. Let me tell you about them. They are my kind of person. And you know what? They would never have done that. Let me tell you. I know them well. And if they're going to murder somebody, they would not use a knife. They would use a gun. I mean, they're not that dumb. They would use a gun. And you know what? Me and her talked one time. We talked about if we killed somebody, and I told him, you know what? If you ever murder somebody, I know a place where you can bury bodies, and nobody will ever find them. And I want to tell you, if they killed somebody, they would have told me, and you wouldn't have found the body. And because I know he's smarter than that, we've talked about how to kill somebody and bury the body. And you're going, get him off the stand. This witness is not helping me. Police come in, drag him out. He's already in jail for attempted murder and robbery and everything else. They drag him out, and the jury's going, can we go ahead and recess? You say, that witness is not helping me. You're not a very good witness. It would have been better off if you would never have said anything in defense of me. You're not a good witness. I want to talk to you today about being a good witness for God. Because some people come in and God is saying, oh, no, don't witness for me. Oh, no. Remember, I was we had someone in jail, and they called me, and I was talking on the phone, and they called me collect. And they told me, they said, there's this guy in here who's teaching me all kinds of great things about the Bible. He is the most spiritual man I've ever met, and this and that. And he knows all kinds of things about the Bible that you never taught me, and things I've never seen in the Bible. Boy, I kept bragging to this guy, and I went and visited this person, and I was talking to him across the glass there with the little phone, and we were yakking, and he says, this guy, man, he has amazing truth that no one ever sees. And he says, pastors are all bad. And he is an amazing, and he's this, and he's that, and he's that. And I said, did it ever dawn on you where you met this guy? Why is he in jail? I said, maybe he's not the greatest. Obviously, he just recently got arrested because this is a temporary holding place. Maybe he's not the most spiritual guy in the world. Sometimes Christians go and they do the craziest things, and they go witness to someone and say, I'm a Christian. You see him get arrested on TV, and then they say, you know what, but I'm going to trust God to get me out of this. It wasn't God who put you into that. Don't claim God when you're in trouble and you've got yourself in a big mess. When the police are arresting you and they find drugs in your pocket, don't let them also find a New Testament. Or please, do not let them find one of these. You want to be a good witness. You want to be a good witness. You're an ambassador for Christ, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, you're ambassadors for him. God sends you forth. You are the ambassador for God. I represent God right now, and I'm coming to speak to you on his behalf. That's what you're doing. You're an ambassador for the creator of the universe. How can we be lukewarm, mediocre, bad, living bad, doing wrong things, hiding things, afraid they'll find out the truth? When they come to your house, what do they see? When they hear you talk, what do they hear? Please don't hear them throwing frying pans at each other and having a big fight and cussing each other out and get the police called out for domestic violence, and then you go invite them to church Sunday. Invite them to the Kingdom Hall. Amen. Okay, not to Open Door. Tell them you're Jehovah's Witnesses. But guys, you need to be a witness for God. Let me give you some ways to be a great witness. Just a few things. Number one, carry the Lord's name reverently. Let me take you to Exodus, book of Exodus. Here's just something here you probably never heard taught before. Nobody really teaches this, but it's Exodus chapter 20. It's important truth. Very few people know this about this verse, and it's one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Let me tell you what people think this verse says, okay? I'm going to read it like you think it reads, like everybody quotes this verse and like everybody says this verse read. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not say the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that says his name in vain. Is that what it says? No, is that what it says? Now, I don't think you should do what we call taking the Lord's name in vain. God blank this and God blank that. I think that's wicked, and God's name is holy. He says it all over the Bible. I think that is wrong. But that's not what taking the name of the Lord your God in vain is. The word take does not mean speak. The word take in the Bible, that's the Hebrew word nasa. It means to lift up, to accept, to bear and carry. So, real simple, when it says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, it means this right here. Don't go over and take the Lord's name in vain. It doesn't mean speak it. It has nothing to do with speaking it. This word's not a common word in the Bible when it says take care. Nasa is not very common. I mean, just to give you a place where it's used. It's only used not that many times in the Bible. Go to Joshua. It's not used a lot of times in the Bible. It's never translated as speak. It means to lift something up and carry it. Take it with you. Joshua chapter 3, and this is just one example where it's used. Verse 6, it says, "And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people." That's the word Nassau. So when it says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, it doesn't mean don't speak God's name in vain. It doesn't mean that, although you shouldn't do that. What it means is, do not take the name of God uselessly. The word vain means uselessly. What does that mean? It means do not take the name of God if you're not really going to follow God. Don't take God's name in a joke, in a playing around. I'm a Christian. Don't do that lightly. And do not ever do that and not live it. Christians have killed our testimony. Christians have. People who say, I'm a Christian, and then they don't live it. Our problem is not showing the Bible's real. The problem is they saying, but I know a Christian who did this. Boy, that's tough for us to fight with. Listen, we don't want Christians who are fakes. If you're going to go around and be a playing games with God and playing games, don't take his name in vain. Don't tell anybody you're a Christian. Okay? Don't go drinking with your buddies at the bar. Don't go rent the bad videos. Don't go out cussing. Don't go get in a fight. And don't go, I'm a Christian though. You're taking his name in vain. You don't take God's name and dirty it up. His name's very sacred. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You need to be a person who carries the Lord's name reverently. You're his witness. How would you like to be on trial? And Gary Ridgway was a person who was saying, hey, I'll stand up for you. You're the Green River Killer. I don't need your help. Charles Manson's going to go and defend me. He's going to go up and tell how good a guy I am. I don't want a guy with a swastika on his forehead telling everybody how great a guy I am. I don't need a person testifying for me who doesn't have a good reputation. Amen. And God does not need a person testifying and being his witness that he is a real God and a true God who doesn't show that he's a real God and a true God. Jesus Christ can change your life. And they look at you and say, I don't believe you. He hasn't changed your life.
That's good.
Ye are my witness, saith the Lord. Will you pick up the name of God and use it lightly? Carry the Lord's name very reverently. The Bible says in Acts 11:26, it says, "Near called Christians first at Antioch." We take the name of Christ and we say, the word Christian means little Christ. I'm a little Christ. Let's live in such a way. We can't control. I can't control what other people, other churches do. I can't control what other Christians do around the world. I can't have anything to do with that. But I can go and control myself. I can control my family's name. I can control what I preach this church. And you can control what kind of Christian you are. Let's have one church in this area that when people say, you go to Open Door, you must really live it. They're real Christians there. We need to not take the name of the Lord in vain. We need to be a good witness that is a positive witness. I'm not saying if you're learning and growing and you're still got a few issues in your life, you shouldn't tell anybody. No, you can still go and tell, hey, look what God has done in my life so far. You might still be struggling. I understand that. And you haven't got everything together. Neither have I. But you don't go around and be a bad witness. Amen. Be a bad witness. The Lord's name, you must carry it reverently and carefully. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know the difference between a good Christian and a bad Christian? The bad Christian tells you how good a Christian they are. Good Christian shows you how good a Christian they are.
Amen.
You've met those Christians who talk about how good a Christian they are. Oh, let me tell you, I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I do this and that, and I've been doing this, speaking tongues, and I've done this 25 times, and this and that, and I've been in the church this long, and I know everything about God, and I know the Bible backwards, forwards, upside down. I can read it standing on my head. And they puff up. Let me tell you, I roll my cigarettes to the Bible. I'm so spiritual. I mean, just, it's amazing. They just tell you how spiritual they are. The greatest Christians I ever meet, just ask them. I usually meet in jail. They really love God. Best Christians I meet, I'm trying to counsel them to not. By the way, I've been a perfect husband. I didn't do anything wrong in this. I'm a great Christian. She's just an idiot. She just leave me for no reason. Yeah, women just leave men for no reason when they're wonderful and buy them flowers and take care of them and love them and kiss them. And yeah, right. Whenever somebody tells me, you know what? I didn't do anything wrong. And you know what? I'm a great Christian. I'm the most humble man you'll ever meet. I mean, it's just, stop. They want to tell you how good a Christian they are. A good Christian lets your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. They may see your good works. If you're a really good Christian, you don't have to tell everybody. I am too a good Christian. Yes, I am. No, I'm a really good Christian. If they argue with you about it, you might not be. If you have to argue them and convince them, they have to say, you know what? I'll tell you what. I might not like what you believe, but I know you live it. And the way you treat your family and the way you talk, and I've never heard you say a bad word or say a bad joke. And you know what? You go to church every Sunday and you do read your Bible and pray. And you know what? You are kind. I'll give you that. I still don't think what you believe is right, but you know what? You sure do live it. That's okay. It's when you're gossiping about them at work and then you try to witness to them later. It's when we don't carry the name of God. I am a Christian. I don't do that. I'm claiming the name of Christ. I'm a little Christ. And I stand up and say, let me tell you why God is real. Let me tell you how good my God is. And God's saying, shh. Are you a good witness? Do people see something real in you? Are you greedy? Are you mean? Are you a gossip? Is your mouth foul? Do you watch things you shouldn't watch? Do you talk about things you shouldn't talk about? Are you just not nice? A real Christian carries the name of God. They should be able to see your good works, and that brings glory to God, it says. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If I'm a good Christian, you'll know it. I don't need to tell you I'm a good Christian. It's obvious. Christians are different. It's called a light. Let your light so shine. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, the Bible says. It just shines forth. You're a big city on the hill, and somebody says, there is no city there. And everybody says, come on, look at the light shining. It can't be hid. And if you're a good Christian in this crazy world, it stands out. Amen. Everyone says, they are different. They really do help people. They really do love people. They really do live it. They really are kind. They really do love you. They really have good families. They really are Christians. And we stand up and say, let me tell you why God is real. And somebody's eyebrows isn't raised and says, you know what? I believe you have something that's real there. We're witnesses that are credible. We're his witnesses. He doesn't come back himself. He lets us do it. If you want to be a good witness, number one, carry the Lord's name reverently. Number two, be a witness to his power. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 and just a lot of passages in Acts we could read. But be a witness to his power. How do they see you talk to your family? How do they see you go to church? How do they see you work at work? Are you lazy? A Christian's a hard worker. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not to men. Do they say, you know what? They're working with the bosses watching or not. Do they really see your light shining forth? Because you know what? We have a good God. And if we shine his light, it stands out. And they'll see God in us, and we'll be a credible witness. Acts chapter 4, and just, verse 21. It says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man is above 40 years old in whom this miracle of healing was showed. If you go forward to Acts chapter 11, a good witness. Acts chapter 11. Verse 17. For as much then God gave them the gift... like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. See, it glorifies God when the power of God is there. In this situation, people were saved. In the situation before, people were healed. There's a lot of different passages where we see that God is glorified through different things. First of all, God is glorified through souls saved right here. They said, man, look what God did. God saved those people. You know one of the greatest testimonies of the grace of God? And some of you were able to witness for God with a great witness because of this. Because God saved a wretch like you. Amen. You're able to go up there and say, you know what? I mean, listen. You want to know one of the funniest things? I got a Facebook thing up so I could find my old friends. I couldn't find my old friends. That I grew up with as teenagers. And, you know, I used to party with them and get drunk with them and mess around with them and do all those things. And boy, you want to talk about funny reactions when my old friends find me. Because I was a punk. Was. And I was a punk and I was terrible and I was awful. And you know what? They cannot believe, first of all, that I'm alive. Secondly, that I'm a pastor. Secondly, any woman would stick with me for 18 years. Third of all. And they can't believe that. It's a testimony how good God is. Amen. I mean, I love the writer Amazing Grace. He says, this saved a wretch like me. What a great testimony, the slave driver who gets saved. It shows God's power when certain people get transformed. And you know what? No matter how, some of you who have the worst past have the greatest testimony. Amen. You can show, if you really are changed, how great God is. That's the power of God being revealed. Miracles. God can do miracles still. And we come and say, God is a miracle-working God. And you say, I'm a witness to that. I can testify to that. God is a miracle-working God. You don't know how bad I am. Nothing wrong with saying how bad you were and saying, look what God did to me. Listen, I love when some of your relatives or some of your family or some of your friends will talk to me and say, they are totally different. What a great testimony that is to a great God. It shows God's power. You want to be a good witness, you got to show the power of God. Let God do a miracle. When is the last time you're able to witness to God's power? A great verse on this, and I'll just read it to you, but it's Galatians chapter 1. A great verse on this. It says, this is Paul, a former Christian murderer who used to murder Christians, and now he's preaching the gospel. Verse Galatians 1:23. It says, they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. What a great testimony was Paul. What a great witness. Hey, listen, I can tell you God is real and God is powerful. You know why? Because I used to kill Christians, and God appeared to me and transformed my life. And I'm saved now and serving him. And he is real and powerful. And God says, that's a pretty powerful witness. And a lot of people got convinced. He was a good witness for the Lord because of the great power of God. Are you a good witness for God? Can I tell you, get some miracles in your life. Amen. Get God's power. Get a healing. Get a miracle. See God working. See God transform your life. Win some souls. Show God's power. Take your old filthy self and throw it away and live for God and watch and let your light shine of what a big, powerful God we have. Amen. Shine God's light. Be a witness to God's power. Be a witness to God's power. In Ezekiel 37, I think it is, you're the valley of dry bones and an entire valley full of dead bones. And God says, I'm going to make those bones come to life. There's not even any flesh on them. They're all dry and all these bones everywhere. And they speak, Ezekiel speaks the word and all the bones come together and flesh comes on them and skin comes on them. And they start marching. And God says, hey, in the same way I made those bones alive, I'm going to make Israel alive. And then it says over and over, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. When the power of God comes, everybody says, nothing can do that except for God. Amen. Nothing can transform that life except for the Lord. And it's a testimony to God's power. Show God's power. He's alive today. He's changing your lives. Keep the process going and testify and tell people, let me tell you, God is real. I'm a witness to him. Let me give a witness of what God did in my life. And every time Paul gave his test, every time Paul was got a chance to preach, he told his testimony. Let me be a witness of what God did in my life. I like it. It's not just going to church that makes you a good witness. Well, I go to church every Sunday. How many of you have known somebody who went to church every Sunday who wasn't a Christian, wasn't a real Christian? I mean, they were awful. How many have known a Christian who went to church every Sunday but wasn't a good Christian? Boy, they just... It's not just going to church every Sunday, although that should be... They should see you. They should know. You know what? I can't go over there and borrow a cup of sugar. It's Sunday morning. They're not here. They should know where you're going to be on Sunday morning and Sunday night. They know you're at church. But it's not just going to church. It's not just saying, I'm religious. No, it's being a witness to a person that he's wonderful and powerful and great, and he can save you. We said witness by carrying the Lord's name reverently, by being a witness to his power, and by three, by showing real love. John 13, you want to be a real witness? Jesus himself said the best way to be a real witness in John chapter 13. He said the greatest way to be a real witness is by showing love. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. There's a lot of ways that a Christian should be different. One of the things we've had, and I wish I was better at it, one of the greatest testimonies we ever have is our family. I think I need to do a way better job at the family. I don't think it testifies how good my family is. I think it testifies how bad the families of the world are. It's not tough competition to be better than the world and their families. They're wrecks. But very rarely, if ever, do we go to a restaurant and you pack 5 or 6 kids in a restaurant, you get attention. Do we not have someone in the restaurant come up and say, those are the best kids I've ever seen in a restaurant? Very rarely. We went to Black Bear down there, and we had a waitress come, and she came to us afterwards, and she said, you know what, when you guys came in, I was like, oh no. Whenever somebody has a bunch of kids, the kids throw the food and scream and yell till they get what they want and do this and that, and your kid just came in and sat down, and you guys sat there and talked and were quiet and didn't disrupt everything. Your kids didn't scream for what they wanted and throw their food and everything. He says, to be honest with you, you're the best, those are the best kids I've ever had in a restaurant I've ever seen. And we wrote her a note. She's very nice to us. And she loaded my kids up with dessert. I mean, she just piled it on. I mean, it was something else. Then we had to deal with crazy kids later. but she piled the ice cream on. And we wrote her a nice note. I think it was on a track or it was on something with the gospel. And wrote her a nice note about how nice the waitress she was and everything. And later on, somebody else, a different waitress, came up to us and said, oh, you're the one who so-and-so keeps talking about, and she put your note up on the wall. It had the gospel on it. You know what? We have people sometimes come from across the room, just people who are eating the food, and come up and say, you know what? I really want to comment on how good your kids are in the restaurant. I want to be able to say, you know what? That's because we have a Christian family. My kids aren't perfect. Please don't look at my kids and say, oh, they're perfect. No, they're humans. Just like me. Find the perfect kid. Don't put him in your home. You'll ruin him. And there's no perfect kid. But you know what? Your family should not be a disaster. Kids should not be rebellious. Husband and wife shouldn't be throwing rolling pins and frying pans. And throw Nerf balls or something if you're going to fight. We should go and let everybody see. Boy, you guys sure love each other, don't you? You should come to Open Door Baptist and say, boy, you guys sure do love each other. You helped that person out when they had help. You went and prayed for that person when they were needy. You sure loved that person when they needed love. You sure visited that person when they were in jail. You took care of that person. You guys love each other. They shouldn't come to church and hear gossip and fighting. Woe unto you if you start fighting and gossiping in this church. I kill you in love. I'll love you as I kill you. I'll hug you to death. They should come to church and say, wow, what a place of love. Somebody who's not very lovable should be able to come to church and say, you know what, everybody hates me, but you know, when I come to church, they sure do love me. There's some irritating people out there, but you know what, when we come to church, they'll know we're Christians by our love. They should see you and your family full of love. They should see you and other Christians full of love. They should see people in church full of love. Jesus said it's not how you dress that shows you're a Christian. It's not how you cut your hair, and all those can be issues. It's not how you do this or that. It's not how you talk, and all those things are important. It's by your love one for another. It's by your love one for another. Can you be a person who has so much love? When everybody else gossips about that person at work and is making fun of them, mocking them, and that person feels rejected and lonely, and they might deserve it, Can the person walk and put your arm around them and say, hey, let me buy you lunch today? Amen? We're not the ones who make fun of them, right? Good. One person. We're not the person who goes at school and is mean like the kids are on the playground. We're Christians. We're not the person who back talks a teacher. We're loving to everybody. Our kids know we love them. Our wife and husband know we love them. Other Christians at church, well, they just bother me. You don't think you bother God? Amen. I bother God. If I were God and I were throwing out the lightning bolts, I would have been dead a long time ago. I would have zapped myself every day pretty much. And yet God says, you know what, you're very irritating, but I sure do love you. Let me send my son to die for you. Amen. Love. God loves. Love unconditionally. I went to a church one time. I was on my way. I'm going to finish up here. I was going to Boise, Idaho, and I knew a pastor there, but not well. And I went to church, and we went there on a Sunday morning. The Bible says, wherefore should the heathen say, wherefore is their God? The Bible says the heathen shouldn't wonder where our God is. They should see. They know our God's real. I went to this church, and there was a guy in this church who's sitting on this side right over here, about where Roberto is, throwing a fit the whole service. It was kind of a quiet, small church, but this guy wasn't small and quiet. I mean, you know, preacher's preaching, and the crowd's, and he's jumping up, waving a handkerchief, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Just throwing a fit the whole service. Going to town. And man, he wasn't like putting on an act, because you put an act when you fit in and you look normal and you look good. He looked weird. But you know, he had tears coming down his face. He had a convert sitting next to him. He was excited. Amen. And the preacher, he was loving the message. He was excited. It's a good thing, by the way, once in a while. Amen. And boy, and he was so excited. And this guy met me at the church. And he was a nice guy. Just so excited about being saved. I was talking to him afterward. And he talked to me. And he... sincere as he could be, you could look at his face and see he lived a rough life. He told me, he says, I know you know all about this, but let me tell you, I got to tell you about being saved. He said, I was the wickedest, vilest, meanest, nastiest, vulgarest guy you'd ever meet in your life. I was mean and nasty. I was a coal miner, and I was filthy and filthy mouthed and nasty and mean to everybody. I loved to hurt people, loved to do bad things. And he said, I got stuck. I don't know how it happened, but I went skiing, and I got in the cabin with that preacher there, and I hated preachers. And he said, I'm going to torment this guy and make his week miserable. I'm going to make him hate my guts. I'm going to make him cuss and be furious and lose his temper and everything else. And he said, I sat there for 4 days tormenting that man that didn't even know me. And he just started weeping. And he says, that man loved me. He just started weeping. That man loved me so much. He says, I could not get him to hate me. He loved me. And he told me he loved me. I was ruining his stuff. I was losing his stuff. I was shoving his skis down the hill. I was being mean and nasty to him. And he says, that man loved me so much. At the end of the week, I got in front of my knees and I said, I need your God you have. And he said, I moved here to this church to be underneath that man, to find that kind of love. Glad that wasn't me in the cabin. They may never have found him. Snow's easy to dig in. But you know what? What a testimony. And that man got saved and serving God. What kind of testimony do we have? Do they know we're Christians by our love? Why should the heathen say their God's not real? We have the truth. We have the God of the universe. We're born again, Bible-believing Christian, and our God is real and powerful and can fill us full of love and change our lives and give us victory. We can have victory in Jesus. We should be a witness that says, let me tell you, my God is real. I can tell you because look what he did in my life. That's a pretty credible witness. That's what a witness is. I want you to go witnessing. I want that. That's good. As we're talking about, take a track out the front table, give it to people. Awesome. But be the kind of witness that's credible. Be the kind of witness that God says, yep, they got a good testimony. Not, what are you saying? You taught me how to bury bodies. Don't be the witness that God says, you're not giving me any credibility. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, thank you that you're a real God, Lord, but the problem is sometimes we don't give you the real credibility. You are certainly innocent and righteous and good and wonderful and holy and great, Lord, and we thank you for it.